Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We want to start our program by saying we are thankful and happy Thanksgiving to you. We're going to be talking about having an attitude of gratitude and how we can begin to start living a life of thankfulness. We have so much to be thankful for. Some reports say that we live in the top 5% of the world, yet we consume 95% of the world's resources. We have been blessed in America. And as everyone celebrates this time of the year, where we begin to pause and look to God, many people can take credit for the things they have, but let me tell you, everything comes from God. And we get a chance to express our thankfulness. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." And I'll tell you, you know, God has done so much for us. This is a wonderful time to meditate, to contemplate, to begin to vocalize and share with other people, your family, your friends, your coworkers, what you're thankful for. I tell you, so many times people add their miseries, you know, on a adding machine and a calculator, but they count God's blessings on their hand, and it should be the other way around. And so we need to begin to vocalize them, write them down, share them with our friends. But we're going to be talking about the very first Thanksgiving right here in America, and what took place is an amazing story. In fact, I want you to watch this.
400 years ago, the Pilgrims up in Massachusetts celebrated what we think is the first Thanksgiving in the New World. We had one up at, it was Florida 100, or one of those places up the James River that had a Thanksgiving similar to that in a very early in the 1600s. But what you didn't know were why they were so thankful. It was because God brought so many miracles to keep them alive during a terrible time that might well have killed every single one of them. Paul Strang brings us that story from Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Here at Plymouth Plantation, near the site of the actual Pilgrim settlement, reenactors portray a hearty, thriving Plymouth several years after the settlers arrived. Their radical faith in a living God is displayed in recreations of a Sunday service.
Let thy spirit guide us in these and all our actions for thy glory and the good of thine elect.
But years before, it took miracle after miracle for the Pilgrims to survive their first few months in the New World and make it to their first Thanksgiving. Pilgrim reenactor Leo Martin gives tours in the city of Plymouth out of the Jenny Museum he helps run. He says these religious separatists were unshakable, determined people not to be trifled with. One pilgrim-hating sailor on the Mayflower found out it didn't pay to curse them or their God.
Finally looked at him and said, "I cannot wait until you fools die, and I can put your bodies in a shroud and dump you into the ocean, you hymn-singing puke stockings." Well, the next week he died, the Pilgrims put his body in a shroud and dumped him into the ocean. And to this day, nobody knows what killed him.
Still, when they landed way off course to the north, the cruel, harsh winter of 1620 killed half of these tough pilgrims. Dr. Paul Jaley reenacts and heads the Plymouth Rock Foundation, which highlights the pilgrims' die-hard, flinty faith.
They start out talking about two or three people dying a day. So half their company is dead.
Nearly out of food, they were living on a ration of just 5 kernels of corn a day. And most of the mothers perished because they gave their portions to their starving children.
Those 18 married women, 14 died the first winter, sacrificing themselves for the next generation.
But even in the midst of all this, the guidance of God was evident. Exploring in their shallop boat, they found, here above the famous Plymouth Rock, a place that perfectly, miraculously met their needs. A river of fresh, clean water teeming with fish. Next to it, a high hill, now a cemetery, but then the perfect location for their cannon set to ward off Spanish, French, or native enemies. And since they couldn't fit plows on the Mayflower, they desperately needed a large plowed field no longer claimed by anyone.
They find 3 acres of cleared farmland, which the natives have abandoned.
Because a plague had killed most of them.
Now they're wiped out by a plague, so no other Indians would come on the property.
Then Martin tells CBN News of one of the strangest occurrences of all. An unknown Indian walked up and spoke English.
"How you doing? You got a beer?"
He led them to a young brave named Squanto, taken under the wing of this man, friendly Chief Massasoit of the nearby Wampanoag tribe.
Taken captive earlier by the Britons and made a slave, Squanto had escaped, learned English in Britain, and had now returned. He taught the pilgrims how to plant the native maize, or corn.
And it did save them, because the wheat, rye, and barley they brought with them wouldn't take to the sandy soil the corn did.
And he showed them how to use the plentiful fish in this river as fertilizer to make the corn grow well.
Squanto was this providential instrument used by God.
By the next fall, the crop had thrived enough, the pilgrims decided to celebrate and give thanks to God, inviting Massasoit and his immediate family to come feast with them.
Unfortunately, nobody explained to Massasoit the meaning of immediate family. He brought 99 braves.
First Thanksgiving went on for 3 days as English settlers and natives feasted and celebrated side by side. But the pilgrims didn't forget that starving time that killed half their number.
Governor Bradford put 5 kernels of corn on everybody's plate and asked everybody there to give him 5 things they were thankful for that first year in Plymouth. And that's what we consider our first Thanksgiving.
Plymouth honors the pilgrims year-round through such things as its national monument to the forefathers, topped by a female figure titled Faith. This commemoration included an Abraham Lincoln reenactor, since it was Lincoln who in 1863 made Thanksgiving a national holiday.
The fact of the matter is the Almighty deals with us as nations as well as individuals.
And much of the nation makes its gratitude known every Thanksgiving to the God whose divine hand guided through terrible trials these brave, determined pilgrims. Paul Strand, CBN News, reporting from Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Could you imagine surviving off of 5 kernels a day and then having to give thanks for 5 things as a result? Listen, we've come a long way since just 5 kernels a day, and God has blessed us. It's so important that we just take this time, not just for Thanksgiving, but really every day we should start out with 1 thing that we're absolutely grateful to God for. We're going to be back after this break. When we come back, we're going to continue to talk about living a life, the blessing of living a life of gratitude. Join us when we get back. Happy Thanksgiving. What an awesome time this is of the year, Steve, when we can actually reflect and thank the Lord for everything that he has done.
That puts in perspective the spread of blessings that we sit down with in these moments to think back on 5 kernels.
Yeah, think about that.
But it really puts in perspective the blessings of what God has done.
Look how far we have gone. I mean, really. Today, you talk to most people about Thanksgiving, and they think about turkey, they think about over-feasting, football, and shopping. I mean, those are the things that instantly come to mind. And I think that we really need to reshape that narrative and really bring it back to the original intent. And that's really pausing to thank God. Because people say that they're thankful, but you need to go all the way and say who you're thankful to, you know, for. And we need to be thankful that God has been so incredibly good to us.
I mean, you can imagine knowing the fact that half of all the people that you were living life with are now dead. And now you're sitting in a covered room that's warm when it's cold outside and you have food on the table.
Yeah, we're talking about the pilgrims that they just landed in America. And I tell you, that blows away a lot of theories. You know, what do you mean? They weren't wealthy. They served God. And how many people today, how many people today would have been ashamed of just having 5 kernels? They would have said, oh, God's not bless us. They would have questioned whether they obeyed God because they didn't have any kind of provision. They had a period where they appeared to be lacking.
They were alive.
And how many would have said, you know, oh, I don't know if this was God for us to leave and start this new world. We can't question God. Everything is a test. You know, I always say that God's writing a story. Don't mess it up. You know, he is writing a story in your life. You may be in chapter 1, chapter 2. Hang on, you know, the next scene is coming. And watch what God does in your life. But if you spend all your time complaining and looking at situations from a negative perspective instead of a faith-filled perspective, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. And I'm just amazed. I think of 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks, Steve, in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We need to have that not just one time a year, but we need to begin to live a lifestyle that expresses gratitude. And I'll tell you the secret. One of the secrets to getting more in your life is to be grateful for what you have. You know, one of the commandments is thou shalt not covet, right? You should not covet, which means desiring inwardly what your neighbor, what your friend has. You're really wanting that for yourself. But the Bible tells us that godliness with contentment is great gain. You know, when we're coveting what our neighbor has, then we're saying that what we have is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, you know, how much more do you need?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much more do you need? I think about the scriptures. Think about this. The Word of God says, but if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. We've gotten so far from that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, we're entering a season here that unless we really start being grateful to the Lord and really honoring Him, we're going to learn real quick what it is to have five kernels on a plate again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we don't want to go on that journey. We don't want to go on that journey. We want to make sure that we're living a life daily of gratitude. In fact, if you have not got our simple plan of how you can abide with the Lord, one of the very first steps in that plan is, number one, is writing down what you're grateful for that day. I want to encourage you, go to iabide.org and request your plan today so you can begin a life of not only abiding with God, but you can every day point out what God has done for you. What we're getting ready to do, though, right now, I want you to hear words from Kid President. We have a special address from Kid President as he wants to tell us the 25 things we need to be grateful for. Watch this.
So, let's be real. Some days are hard. So I made this list of awesome things I'm thankful for. Yeah. Sometimes I need reminding that things are not all that bad. So I wanted to share a few because you guys are my friends. It's great to be alive. And here's some reminders why. First one, bubble wrap. When cats do their tongue, like this. I'm also thankful for the little paw pads that the cats and dogs have and the sound it makes. Oh, man. I love them. Hey, turn that back on. Oh, no. Change it. Ah, there, that's better. Music is magical. It can make anything better. Right music can make a video better. The same goes with life. Singing. I like pop hats. Singing. If something's boring, just sing it, and that will make it better. Watching paint dry. It's really cool. Old people who still hold hands. Clouds that look like stuff. One time I saw a cloud that looked like an airplane, and I realized it was an airplane. Imagination. Without it, we wouldn't have airplanes, no internet. Pants, we gotta wear them, because if we didn't, it'd be so awkward. Pants. Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Sleep. Clothes with funny names, like Windbreaker. Birthday cake. No reason at all cake, just cake. Sorry if we filmed this while I was hungry. Forgiveness! I'm Kid President, but I ain't perfect. Ain't a word. We all mess up, come on. Don't mess up and forget to forgive all the mess ups. Thankful plants undergo photosynthesis, using the energy from the sun to convert carbon dioxide to oxygen, providing us with the air we need to do things like this. I'm bored. Morgan Freeman's voice. Hello, I'm Morgan Freeman. I'm working on it. My voice is changing, but it hasn't changed that much. Food, taco, burger. I know, I already said food, but this is my list and my rules. Happiness. Sadness. Sad isn't bad. It helps you know what you care about. People. Sometimes people can be really people-y, but we need each other. Life's better with people in it. Family, friends, you. Just being alive. Sometimes we forget how it's just great to be alive. We're breathing. Some days are tough, but we got a lot to be thankful for. We just have to look for it sometimes. They say if you have food in your fridge, clothes on your back, and a place to sleep, you're richer than 75% of the world. I did not know that. So what would you add to the list? Let me know. Share this video with someone you're really thankful for. Oh, and of course, also this. Dancing! Brad and I are thankful for all of you. Seriously, thanks for giving us and the whole world a reason to dance. So what are you thankful for? Let me know. KP out.
Wow, if you're watching this video, then you are richer than 75% of the world. We have so much to be thankful. Yes, including cake. But we have so much to be thankful for. Listen, as we go to the break, I want to remind you about the Vine Seminar. Listen, it's time for us to go back to the original intent.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about thankfulness and being grateful, mm-hmm. especially not just for this season, Steve, but every single day. And during the break, we just got caught up talking again how thankful we are for everything that God has been doing and how blessed we are.
Yeah, when I see the kid president, it's a humorous look at it. You know, he's saying like, and if you're bored, sing.
Yeah.
But when you look at that, it's that reminder of just the power of simply being grateful. And what you were saying,
or grateful,
being grateful. Thank you.
I like that combination of gratitude and gratitude.
There you go.
Grateful. I like that.
Throw it out there. But you know, it's so important what you said before. That's why we talk about abiding. Imagine starting your day being grateful, because in the world, you think that, you know, gratitude comes in things. And it's just like, God, I'm grateful for you.
Yeah.
I'm grateful for peace. I'm grateful for joy. I'm grateful for relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And if we look to things, it's always going to be like we're going to be searching for more. But when we look to God, I want to be fulfilled in the things of God.
Yeah, I've often find that the people that struggle the most with having faith are those, a lot of times, that are not in the practice of being grateful. Mm-hmm. One of the things about being grateful to the Lord is that you're seeing the hand of God. You're actually examining your life and saying, what am I grateful for? What did God touch in my life, in my family's life, in my children's life, in my nation? And you begin to see that throughout your days and your weeks, your months, and throughout the year, you see the hand of God literally massaging your life. And those events cause you to say, man, I can trust God more. He is faithful. He is good,
mm-hmm.
and no matter what I face, no matter what we go through, I know that God changes not. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. We can count on him. And we want to encourage you that no matter what you're seeing on the world stage and all these events and the fulfillment of so many prophetic words, God's not shaky.
Oh, yeah.
He is strong, you know. He's faithful. You can trust him. In fact, Revelation says the rider of the horse is faithful and true, and you can count on him. And we want to bring back. We have these segments called Connecting the Dots, where we kind of dig a little bit into some of the things that we shared in previous time. And we want to bring it to the forefront, kind of connect what happened in the past to what's happening in the future. And I want you to listen to a word that Greg shared with us about the blessing of living a life of gratitude. I believe this is going to bless you and minister to you as we enter this season of thankfulness. Watch this.
Well, we're going to talk about something very encouraging, gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure your whole week has just been overwhelmingly filled with people just going, I'm just grateful for you. You know, just thank you so much for all the help. I'm sure your local congressman or woman called you up and said, you know, I just want to let you know how grateful I am that you paid your taxes. They'd be able to afford my own house by being here. I'm sure the president called you up to thank you for just gratefulness. And I'm sure that the community's just coming in. And I'm sure the teachers in the community are calling you up and going, you know, that $500-$600 you paid in your tax bill to be able to keep my salary. And you know, I'm sure that teachers, you're hearing parents call you up and go, you know, I'm just so grateful that you're teaching Jimmy how to read. And I'm sure if you're a police officer, people are just pulling you over going, you know, can I get you something? I'm just so grateful that you're keeping it safe. And I know that in churches, I'm sure everywhere, they're just filled with people full of gratitude.
Right.
You know, thanking the pastor to be able to, that keeps them under the teachings of Jesus and helps them. I'm sure. What planet are you on? I haven't seen anything. I was like, we're the most blessed nation in the world in regards to substance and wealth. And it's like, but yet it just seems to be the most ungrateful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Jared goes down to, my son goes down to Haiti, you know, there's people in Haiti right now that have nothing that America has, nothing. But yet they're happy. Mm. I mean, not everybody's happy, but I'm just saying that you can't achieve gratitude even in a place where you don't have any of this stuff. So more stuff doesn't make you happy. How many children in America that are the most blessed children on the face of the earth? You know, they're complaining because they don't have the next version of the iPhone versus you got an iPhone, you know, you have an iPad. You know, it's just amazing. It's like nothing. And it's like, wait a minute. Gratitude. That's a sign. If we lack gratitude, it's a sign that we failed to acknowledge God. If we're not grateful for what we presently have and what's happened in our life, we're taking credit for what we have and what's happened. We don't, you know, we're thinking like somebody owes me something. I mean, we have water that comes out of pipes that don't kill you. You know, we have cure for diseases that other nations come to get cured.
That's right.
We have police officers that patrol our streets that keep us safe at night so we could sleep at night. We have military, the most powerful force, you know, if they're loose to do their job, them is just powerful, you know, smart, intelligent, you know, military. And we're just blessed. We can preach and talk openly about God, even though many chose that, like that you can't. It's like, you can.
You can do this.
We have a constitution that says everybody here can be a part of choosing who's going to be our leaders, all the way from the presidency down to the local school board. I mean, think about it. What a country, right? But it's like, where's the gratitude?
Yeah. As you're talking about that, I'm thinking about even the most basic thing that we all need is food, right? We take for granted. It seems like the things we should be most grateful for, we just ignore. And I always think about this, my neighbor in New Jersey, his mother-in-law who came from Cuba, and the souvenir that she wanted to take back to Cuba was the inserts in the newspapers of the flyers regarding all the sale coupons of the different foods. She would go to all the supermarkets and
make it
marvel.
Look really good in those size ads. Wow.
Well, she would marvel at all the different types of foods that we have, all the different brands. I mean, how many cookies do you need? How many, you know, drinks? And how many? And you look at it, but we take it for granted. A simple drink.
It doesn't kill you.
She's taking, right, it doesn't kill you, right?
Right. And I mean, think about it. You can stop off anywhere pretty much. A couple places you can't. But you can stop off and you can have a meal there. And it's going to be the same meal that you had 400 miles ago. And you don't have to go in there and bring out, you know, look it over real good to find out if it's got anything that's going to kill you in there.
Right.
Because we have things like the Food and Drug Administration and people looking over and inspection things
policies,
on the restaurant
standards,
policies.
Right.
And, you know, you get sick, you can go to a pharmacy somewhere in the country that people that have been trained that are going to be there to educate you on what's going to happen with this medication, how it's going to help you out. I mean, penicillin, think about it. Prior to penicillin, you would die. Most people died around 30, 40 years old, you know, prior to that, because you get a cut, you just die.
Mm.
And it's like, but being grateful is not really an option, to tell you the truth, because when you look at Romans chapter 1, he talks about it, and you can even put America here if you think about it. You say, for although they knew God, I mean, how many people in America claim to know God? I mean, they claim to know God. And in that they talk about them, and some people do read the Bible, and some people don't. You know, read the Bible, but yeah,
no,
okay. And so, although they knew God, he says they neither glorified him as God. In other words, he was like their fishing buddy, but he wasn't holy God.
No, the co-pilot.
He was the co-pilot. I mean, there's a thousand different wrong analogies for God. And it says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. They weren't grateful to him. And so he's talking about what happens when we're no longer grateful. And the first thing you know about it, if you're going to be grateful to someone, you first have to acknowledge that person exists. Mm-hmm. If you're going to be grateful to God, you actually got to think about God. But if you're not even thinking about God, you're never going to be grateful to God.
Right.
If you don't even put him in the equation, that he's the one that allowed this nation to exist. And with all of its warts and problems and mistakes, it's been a blessed nation that it is, in a way, that if we turn back to God, that this thing can still make it.
Right.
And, but if we don't even, if we don't acknowledge him, we can't be grateful for him. So when you're starting to be grateful to God, what happens? You start pondering what he's done and who he is in your life. And the first thing you think about is, he gave his son for me. I mean, of all the things that to prove his love for me, I'm just grateful that I have made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life and asked God to forgive me for my sins, past, present, and future. Lord God, and he brought me into the family, I'm just, I mean, how can I ever not be grateful? I just want to spend the rest of my life in gratitude for that. You know, what can I do for the one that saved me where I was doomed for, you know, hell with his weeping and gnashing of teeth? It brought me into the family, made me an heir of his and a joint heir with his son, Jesus Christ. I'm like, come on, this is amazing. And then for those listeners and viewers that are in America, I mean, he allowed you to be in America. We can use this country to go to these other nations and bless them. We can use these good jobs and provision and know-how, and we can go to other countries like Haiti, for example. You know, Pat and I have been in talks with Live Hope and Learn, and we're excited about those things unfolding and being there for the children of Haiti, the hungry, the orphan, and we want to be able to participate. We're working on that right now. We're excited about that. But think what you can do. You can do so much more. You know, I think it was T.D. Jakes says, you know, I've been poor and I've been rich, you know, and it's like, you know, I prefer being rich.
Yeah.
And people say, well, I'm not rich. How ungrateful can you be? The poorest person in America is richer than 70-something percent of the entire population of the 7 billion people on the face of the earth. If you're in America, you're rich. You're rich. We're just never satisfied. We always think there's more. We're like, wait a minute, I got to start being grateful. This is what happens when we're not grateful, he says. He says, for all that they knew God, this is Romans 1:21, although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. What happens is you end up on Prozac. You end up on these mind-altering drugs because your mind's driving you crazy. I mean, your thoughts are turning in on yourself. You can't shut your mind up. You got to have noise going. You got to have media going. Something's got to go because you have no peace. Your mind is just futile. You have people, you say, at the end of the day, they go, you know, I'm just worn out. And you're like, what did you do? And they go, I didn't do anything. It's like, how can you be worn out? You didn't do anything. Because their mind is just going 90 to nothing. And it's just like frying their mind. It's just futile thinking, useless thoughts that are going on. And then it says, then their hearts become dark. In other words, we get turned over to darkness. And so depression and all these things begin to happen. It's like, I wonder if I just start being grateful. Really honestly, sincerely, looking tangibly at my life and what God has done and being grateful that I'll bring me out of this depression. Mm-hmm. Just being grateful for the friends and the family and the job and where he has you and that you can start again in America if it didn't go good. You can start again in God. God's God of second chances. And then he goes on and says, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of God of the immortal God for images made to look like him. And so God turns them over to their sinful desires to do what they ought not to do and turn them over to sexual impurity. I believe there's some people that are watching me right now that you just have been totally turned over to sexual impurity and the sinful desires of your heart. You just feel so dirty and you can't get yourself out of that. But I want to ask you something. It's going to blow your mind. Are you ungrateful? Have you ever thought about it? It's like, how can I be grateful? You can be grateful your way out of this thing. Because you got to be grateful to God, which means you have to acknowledge him. So now God's been acknowledged. You're being grateful. And as you begin to build your faith by looking at the things that God has done for you, it'll give you enough faith to begin to say, in the name of Jesus, I'm coming out of that. And the cross is going to bring the power of what Jesus did on the cross is going to give me the strength and the leadership by God's Spirit to bring me out. You can do that. Because the very thing of not being grateful is the reason why you probably got turned over to that. I mean, it's almost like discipline from a natural parent that says it's going to be rough to you till you have some gratitude around this house, right?
Isn't that powerful?
Mm-hmm.
See, what the enemy loves to do is to deceive us and to get us so bound into looking about, you know, towards what we don't have instead of pausing to realize, even the thing that I do have, I didn't even deserve to begin with. Everything came from the hand of God. And so, my goodness, listen, the key is living a life of gratitude. Wow, what a blessing, having an attitude of gratitude.
Perspective.
Listen, it makes the difference when you start realizing, you know. You remember a season in your life where maybe you may be going through this where you're like, you know, you had all these desires, you had all these wishes, you wanted to get all of this stuff, and then you had a minor catastrophe, let's say, and you lost so much, and you were just like, you know, God, I'd be happy if you just could get me to zero. You know, if I can be at zero, I'd be happy. Things, stuff, places, those things really don't make us happy. You know, happiness is like something that happenstance. But true joy comes
from a relationship with God and seeing His hand move in our life every single day, we want to encourage you. Maybe you haven't been in the practice of every day giving thanks to the Lord. We promise you, if you start this journey, you'll begin to, your relationship with God will flourish in such an amazing way, because you will see all the wonderful ways that God has been caring for you, for your family, for your nation, and you'll have such an overwhelming sense of gratitude. That's what happens. Is enter His courts with thanksgiving and praise. Listen, we want to pray for you. We encourage you, please pray for us. We need all your prayers, and we appreciate your prayers. Father, Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we live in such a blessed land. God, we thank you for our health. We thank you, God, for all the many blessings that you've given us. But most of all today, Lord, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you for His sinless, spotless life, and that He paid the ultimate price for the saving of our souls. Lord, if you did nothing else for us, you've done enough. Help us each and every day to inventory our lives, that we may appreciate and vocalize to you what we are so grateful for. We thank you so much, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining us.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.